Today's gospel reading that we heard presents some sewer talk from Jesus. Now, that's not what we most likely think about when we consider Jesus' words, but it is there. Jesus' teaching that he gives stems from the confrontation by the Pharisees and scribes who were concerned that Jesus had not properly instructed his disciples about the Jewish purification customs. We heard their objections to Jesus last Sunday when they said, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" But we also heard Jesus' response. "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition." Jesus even went further than that, accusing the Pharisees and scribes of abandoning the Lord's word, making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And that may very well be true. But the matter of defilement still had to be addressed properly by Jesus, because that matter of defilement truly understood is a topic that every single human faces. That is due to the nature of humanity. For mankind is plagued by sinfulness. There are matters that defile people. This truth Jesus makes clear. He called the people to himself again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him." Jesus identifies a source of defilement that exists within people, that what comes out of individuals will make them unclean. But Jesus' teaching is not focused on physical things, because those are not the defiling agents. That is seen in the explanation that he gives to his disciples when he says to them, "Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled?" Or more literally, it goes into the latrine or sewer. The human waste that comes out of the digestive system and enters the sewer, that is not what makes a person unclean in the sight of God. That does not defile them. But the vices that come out of a person's heart will make a person unrighteous and sordid and defiled. That's why Jesus says what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. And here we see Jesus addressing the sewer of the human heart. That's where the true matter of defilement is found. Holiness has to do with abiding by the standard of righteousness that the Lord establishes. But the problem is people, including ourselves, do not have the inclination to do that. Instead, we have desires that are not in line with the Lord's will. And those desires are found in our hearts. Again, Jesus is not speaking about physical matters. The physical makeup of a person, including the digestive system, is all part of the Lord's creation, the creation that the Lord declared very good, as it had been made according to his design. So also was the soul of mankind created very good when the Lord put it in his human creatures. But the problem is, our hearts have been defiled by sin, which is why we talk about humanity being sinful and not just being sinners. That is, the defilement by sin that we humans suffer is more a condition that manifests itself rather than just a poor record of accomplishment. Recall how Jesus described this. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. As we consider that statement given by Jesus, we can note that he speaks about more than just actual sins or sins of deed, sins of activity. It is true, Jesus does point out unrighteous acts, but it is interesting that when he wants to talk about the true matter of defilement, he actually starts the list with what? With evil thoughts first. And then many of those other vices that are on his list are more what we might call thought crimes than physical actions. Coveting, envy, pride, and foolishness. And then still others are combinations of evil thoughts with subsequent actions, like wickedness or deceit or sensuality. And that's important to note, because what Jesus describes is a person who is out of line with the Lord's will, someone who is not thinking in the same way as the Lord does. And that begins to defile a person even before there's any sort of kinetic action with tangible results done. And when that teaching of Jesus is learned and applied by us, we should become quite uncomfortable. Because that description of defilement that he gives, yeah, it really aptly fits us. And his list is long. To claim that our hearts haven't produced any such evil thoughts that Jesus mentions would be a very bold statement to make. It's one we shouldn't make. In fact, if we did so, making that statement would actually fit several of the categories of defilement that Jesus mentioned, like deceit and pride and foolishness. Instead, we are to see that stuff within us makes us unclean in God's sight. That we do have hearts that are sewers. And that reality becomes even worse when we consider the nature of the Lord's will compared to that list of vices mentioned by Jesus. Recall when Moses was giving the instructions to the ancient people of God, when he was teaching them a second time the Lord's law prior to their going into the promised land of Canaan. Remember what he said to them? He said, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the just decrees that I am teaching you, and do them that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and just decrees so righteous as all this law that I set before you today?" That description of the Lord's law, statements that revealed his will, that description indicated that what the Lord commands is just. It's righteous. It's good. It's virtuous. His statutes and decrees are a way of wisdom and understanding. And they are much greater than what is found in human hearts, the evil and folly and injustice and deception that we can find inside ourselves. And so, what can we do about it? What can clean those heart sewers? Well, we find guidance in the portion of Psalm 119 that we sang this morning. There, the psalmist David acknowledged that the Lord's words are good and right. He said, "Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them." And David asked the Lord to impart divine wisdom and knowledge through those words. He said, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes." David even prayed further for divine guidance to be given to him. "Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me." All those things that David asked for are necessary so that he and others could carry out thoughts and words and deeds according to the Lord's will. But there was also something more, something that must happen to bring a full cleansing of our heart sewers. And David doesn't overlook that. Rather, he states it plainly. He tells the Lord, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name." And that prayer is quite vital. Because even while noting his love of the Lord and acknowledging the goodness of the Lord's law, David does not then tell the Lord, "I have a perfect record of abiding by your will. I've done everything you've ever instructed." No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't claim to be fully clean in himself, that not a trace of defilement could be found in him. Instead, he notes that he needs the Lord to act mercifully to him because he is tainted by sin and surrounded by it. And that request that David makes of the Lord is based on how the Lord describes himself, what the Lord says about his character. What David is doing is he's acting on what he has heard from the Lord's word. He's grabbing hold of the Lord's word of promise and saying, "I need you to do that for me." And the same is true for us. When we hear Jesus teaching like we did in today's gospel reading, we are to note that that whole list of defilements found in people's hearts, it does describe what is present in ours. We are sinful and unclean. Our hearts are sewers. But Jesus' teaching that we heard this morning is not the only word of Jesus that we get to hear. Because that same Jesus also speaks about himself being the Holy One of God. and being the Redeemer who has been sent into the world to bring salvation. Think back on what we heard in our worship services in August when we had all those Sundays in a row all focused on Jesus teaching about himself being the bread of life that came down from heaven to give salvation and eternal life to the world. And the great act of Jesus that we recall every single week when we gather for our divine service is his atoning sacrifice that he made to bring holiness to us defiled humans. And then we also get to hear the instructions of Jesus that he gives for his disciples to carry out, to begin to live as cleansed people now. But we also learn that Jesus is going to give us an even fuller measure of restoration, a complete removal of defilement when we are raised from the dead and we experience the life in the world to come. All that is what we have come to know and to believe about Jesus and to learn that that is what we need from him. So we are not directed to look into ourselves to find righteousness and holiness, because if we look into ourselves through that prism of the Lord's law, it will quickly show just how bad those sewers are. But remember what Jesus said. Hear me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him, but the things that come out of a person are what defile him. There is something outside ourselves that we can take in to remove our defilement. And that is the atoning work of Jesus done for us, which is presented through his words of promise. The words that we hear preached to us and that deliver to us the good news of forgiveness. The words that are connected to the waters of baptism and make us God's children, just like Chase was made one of God's children this morning. The words that are tied to bread and wine that we eat and drink in remembrance of Jesus' saving work that he did for us. Those words of eternal life from Jesus are the disinfectant that cleanses the sewers of our hearts. And as we heard in last Sunday's epistle reading, Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That cleansing is given to us by Christ as a gift. He makes us presentable to himself on his own. But when those words of eternal life spoken by Jesus are taken in by us, it does begin to change who we are. We begin to produce righteousness. We begin to bear the fruit of good works. It is true, we are going to have a mixed record of thoughts, words, and deeds now. Some will be good, some will be evil. That is going to be the case all the way until we are perfected on the last day when Jesus grants us the full measure of his glory and holiness. So as you have the opportunity now, continue to ingest, to take in Christ's holy words, so that what goes into you doesn't defile you, but actually makes you clean. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.